You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1994 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is an evening lecture given by Brother Ray Riley titled, Written in the Sand.
The text we had read from the Gospel of John, you might notice in your margin or certainly in the modern translations, it says that certain scholars, having examined certain manuscripts, have found that text to be deleted and recommended it not be read. Therefore, I will use it. I don't do so thinking I'm superior to them, but rather the story, the message is so poignant, so loaded, and so relevant to our age, especially here in North America, that it needs reading, it needs telling. I'm going to tell you a story. Is it Bible-based? Yes, it's Bible-based. Is it true? No, I don't know. It's a fabric of my imagination, as such a story could be of yours. I guess we could call that fiction, couldn't we? Well, it is about a person from our Bible, John chapter 8, who lived a long time ago, far, far before any of us even thought about entertaining the light, in a manner and a style and a custom and a land and a territory which is entirely different than our own. And this woman, the prime character of the story, comes on the scene unannounced, plays her role, and goes away and comes no more. Now, what generated that idea as intrigued me was because there are many women, men and women like that in our Bible. Many times they're nameless, or if they have a name, it's really nothing special. They come into the narrative, they do their thing, and they're gone. And I say to myself, who were they? Were they believers? Righteous? Unrighteous? And then I wonder, after the experience with the Master or Joshua or whoever, what did they become? Whatever happened to them? Because, my brethren, they were men, women like you and I, shared the same experiences of daily life, and they had a story. Some kind of a story they had. Well, knowing the dangers of speculation, we tread lightly. I'd like you to pretend that this is a diary found in a clay pot, or in a secret place in a rock, or loose in the sands, or in a bazaar in the streets of Jerusalem, or somewhere. It was a diary recovered, and in this diary is the story of the woman of John 8. And the story as I would write it would be like this. Once upon a time, I was young and beautiful. Our family was wealthy, and we enjoyed all the world had to offer. My brothers were trained and expected to be capable administrators of the family's lands and their business. And I, as the only daughter, was expected to, well, I was just expected to be beautiful and attract some man who would then contribute to the family's wealth. In fact, when my father fished, I was the bait. And, in due time, Simon, the shipping magnate, took me for his bride, with certain contractual agreements with my father, of course. There was no love between Simon and I. There was only duty. And the duty produced two children. And were it not for the children, I would have been lunatic with despair. I found Simon more and more loathsome. He had no feelings for me, nor the children, nor anyone else. All his time was spent down at the waterfront, caring for ships and cargo and money, always money. Well, I was terribly lonely and very vulnerable. What happened? Well, I make no excuses. Had I the wisdom but which I've earned by trial as I have now, I would have never done what I did. But I did it. The man was my husband's servant. The attraction was instant. Things happened. And Simon found out. Simon was told by someone, I don't know who, and at this point it really doesn't matter. It all happened so fast. My, quote, lover, as my husband called him, was dragged away to the galleys to pull the oar till his death. And I was brought before the priests and vilified. I had no acceptable excuse. The laws of our nation forbid adultery, the penalty for which was stoning. I'd been very foolish. Now I would die. I trembled in fear. I did not know why at the time, but I learned later that these very same priests were looking for a way to entrap a wandering prophet. Some would say to destroy him. Little did I know that I would be the instrument of their nefarious deed. The next day I was taken from the cellar where I had been locked in and made to walk down to the village. I'd had no food, no water. My gown was taken from me and I had but a vermin-filled blanket to cover my nakedness. My feet were bleeding from the rocky trail, and every hesitation brought a cuff of a burly hand. You must remember that I had been, as it said, quote, a lady. That is the way I was expected to be. And at last we stopped at a well, and I was permitted to tend to my needs. In a very few minutes, I was put on a donkey, and we proceeded to Jerusalem. I was ashamed. I was horrified at what I must look like. I wondered, did my father know? Did my brothers know? Did anybody care or know? We passed through the gate of the temple, the compound, and headed for a gathering of men. One man was addressing the others. And at a distance, I was taken from the donkey and shoved forward into the midst of the group. My captor spoke to the man who had been speaking and said, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? I was shaking in fear. How could this be happening? I am not a wanton. Yes, I gave myself to another man, but it wasn't planned. It happened. I was starved for affection, and all around me was barren indifference to me. I was a human too. Oh, if I could only go back and redo myself. Still, I know in my heart, I have no excuse. I made a tragic mistake. What would happen to my children? Now I know what it means when it says, Woe unto me, I am undone. The crowd of men rumbled. And I could hear whispered debate over my fate as they recalled the law and its revered commentaries. The teacher looked at the man who spoke, and he looked at me, and he then knelt down, and started to write in the dust with his finger. I was too distraught to read it. They continued to harangue him, shoving me right up to him. And in due time, his time, he showed no fear. He stood up. And for a moment I raised my head. He looked at me, and I saw compassion. I was confused. He then looked at each of the mob in turn. His eyes were like coals of fire and spoke quietly but succinctly. If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. You could have heard a pin drop. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the sand. Silence. The air hung heavy. There became the obvious moving away of feet, one man at a time, the older ones first, until only the teacher and I stood in the courtyard. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't speak. And at last he stood up, and gently he asked me in a soft voice, the kind of softness I had so longed for. I had seen nothing but brutality for these last 4 years, and now softness. He asked, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? I struggled with my voice and said, no one, sir. And in matchless feeling, he said, then neither do I condemn you. Go now. Leave your life of sin. And he departed. I was so grateful. I was alive. And I felt clean. Clean like I had never been. And I knew it was over. Oh, I endured much physical hardship. My husband is dead. But now, not until he divorced me. My father... Well, my father was a hard man. He could not accept me. He did take my children and provided for them. And now they are grown and bring their children, sometimes to see grandma. But I never regained my privilege to mother again. The teacher instructed the disciples to take me and care for me. In due time, I learned the gospel, and I was baptized. Yeah, I saw the bleeding teacher as he hung in agony and humiliation at the crucifixion. I heard him say, Father, into thy hands I commend thy spirit. And then it is finished. I saw him die. His trial was over. The disciples were confused then, but somehow I knew. I sensed that it wasn't over. And when the news came that the tomb was empty, I knew he was risen. And he was. The years have slipped by. And yes, I have been a follower of the teacher these many years. I too fled from Jerusalem. And went to the mountains and crossed deserts and hid in caves, ate and slept as I could, but remained always with the brethren in Christ. How many breakings of breads do I have left? Not too many. The day thou gavest, Lord, is almost ended. The darkness falls at thy behest. To thee our morning hymns ascended, thy praise shall sanctify our rest.